Where are we and who are you?
All right.
What do you do? All the famous questions.
We are here in the Speed Server team. And the Speed Server team, I'm in the Speed Server team, group product manager. And I'm working on Speed Server 2007.
And who are you?
My name is Albert Koyman. Okay. And we work with developers and try to create a great development experience of Speed Server apps.
Okay. And what is Speed Server? Speed server, I know, answers our telephones here at Microsoft, right?
Yes. So dial zero here, speak a name, and you get connected, right? Yeah. So Speed Server is effectively an instrument to get information out of a database and via the telephone. So whenever you have built a .NET application that you now approach via a browser, you can also get that information via the telephone. And Speed Server just builds that presentation layer on top of that .NET application that you have.
Right. So it's just voice recognition, because when I call the switchboard here and say,
if you have a phone, you typically don't have the keyboard, right? So you need to start speaking instead. Yep. And then the .NET application just treats that as the text, because the speech recognition converts it into text. And then at that point in time, it takes the necessary action.
Right.
So I speak a name, the speech recognizer recognizes that name, then finds from the database the phone number that's associated with it, and Speed Server then transfers your call to a Speed Server.
Right.
That's one example, but you can also, for example, get customer information. Like in a bank, you would like to transfer money from one account to another account. That's a Speed Server app. Or when you're ill, you just dial up, you say, I am ill. And the system asks you, how many days are you going to be ill? Oh, 3 days. Then it looks up, 3 days. No doctor's certificate required. Those are different types of applications that you can do.
Does it do text to, does it read to you? Can it read?
Yeah.
Can I call a speech server app and have it read the
speech
news
is
to me
both
or something?
Speech recognition as well, what we call speech synthesis. Okay. Speech synthesis is used when you are retrieving a record from a database that you cannot predict, so you cannot pre-record. That speech synthesis is part of speech server as well, and you just program it that it converts the text into the spoken text, into the spoken language.
Very cool. Well, there's some other people here in this room, so... who are you?
Hi, I'm Mithun. I work with Albert. I'm the product manager, technical product manager for Microsoft Speed Server.
Okay.
And I'll be building a couple demos and showing you how to build a sample rudimentary demo using Visual Studio.
Excellent.
And we also integrate completely with the Windows Workflow Foundation. So I'll be using Windows Workflow services to build a speech demo.
And I heard you're showing me some stuff that's not on the market yet, right?
Yes, it's brand new. It'll be releasing soon.
Okay.
And we have a beta program that's already running. And all the stuff that I'll be showing you and more will be in the beta.
Okay. So will this be a public beta that anybody can get on? Or do they have to be personal friends of yours? Or
no, my personal friends get a lot more benefits. But yeah, it's a publicly announced beta.
Okay.
And it's already on Microsoft.com/speech.
Okay.
If you go there, you can sign up for the beta and, completely on.
Cool. And who are you?
Hey, I'm David Olson. I'm a program manager on the authoring tools. So basically, you've heard a bit about integration with Windows Workflow and all the other parts that go together towards building a speech app. I'm going to be doing a little bit more involved demo for you, building off of what Mithun has done, and explore some of the more esoteric aspects of speech app development.
Cool. So you have a demo for
us? Yeah, sure, yeah.
So
let me build you a cool demo.
Is there anything else I need to know before I see the demo?
Because
I think we covered.
Let me explain
the
a little bit, because speech typically was something that was extremely complex for developers, right?
Yeah.
So what Microsoft is trying to do is two things. First of all, make it so easy for developers that it is usable and it's very programmable, etc. And second then, try to get as many applications as possible. Take speech to the mainstream. Let everyone use speech. Speech as an alternative to a web browser when you have not a PC.
Right.
Now, in the Speech Server 2004 that we had, we used very much a web paradigm. So we had a markup language, speech application language tags that allowed you to write that presentation layer on top of your .NET application.
Yeah.
A lot of our Microsoft developers, however, said, why markup? Why can't you just give us C# or VB.NET? And when we started thinking about that, okay, that's half of the solution. Maybe their programming paradigm, they're more familiar with it. But why not give them also all the tools that we are now building in this whole wave of Vista with Windows Workflow? why can't we give them just a Visio?
Yeah.
And drag and drop, and that's what Mitun is going to show you, drag and drop on your Visio canvas, although it's now completely in Visual Studio.
Yes.
Using Windows Workflow Designer to build your speech application.
Well, that's
because a cool application effectively is a call flow.
Yeah.
And a flow is like in workflow.
Yeah.
So we are leveraging that whole technology that you have from Windows Workflow in order to build the speech application. Generate managed code from that, and use that managed code to tie back to that .NET application.
Now, what kind of machine do I need to run this thing on?
Well, I've got here a laptop with 900, where is it? It's on the ground somewhere. I've got a laptop with just 900 megahertz and it runs fine. So we have got a developer, there it is. So you just your developer edition runs on ordinary PC and it can run several lines.
And you don't need any weird sound cards or anything like that, right?
Well, you need a sound card.
A sound card, but not
a
sound weird
card. You need a microphone. You don't
weird
need
sound
weird.
Card is like a technical
you need ordinary. You need ordinary hardware.
Yeah.
However, this is a server technology. So what I'm talking about just a moment ago, that's the SDK. That's the tools. That's the,
okay.
Everything that we are going to show you today. Once you deploy this, it's deployed on Windows Server, and you run Speed Server on top of that. And Speed Server is then, of course, a server-grade product that has all the tools to monitor and to administer and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So let's, yeah, maybe build a small demo using Windows Workflow.
Hey.
So as Albert was telling, speech can become ubiquitous only if there are developers writing speech applications.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft is doing a lot to make speech application authoring really easy. So we have a one-stop solution for everything. Developers can author, debug, and deploy using Visual Studio.
Right.
Let me actually start building a speech application. If you look at this is the latest Visual Studio 2005. I go ahead and I click on Create Project, and if you look at Visual Basic or Visual C Sharp, you notice that there is a speech tab under which you can build a speech application.
Mm-hmm.
So you can build speech applications using managed code. So let me build a C-sharp application. And again, in the templates, we can either build a workflow application or we can build native.
Are all your APIs accessible to managed code, or do I need to be a C++ programmer for you?
No, it's all accessible through managed code.
Okay.
And I select the speech workflow application and click OK. And this is a simple wizard that adds in all the grammar builders and your prompt libraries, and it also allows you to select which language you want to build speech applications in. If you look at the drop-down, we have English for the United Kingdom, then we have French, we have Germany, we have German, and we have Spanish. Let me accept defaults, which is English for US, and click on OK. On the right
if I need other languages, will there be other languages in the future?
Yeah, we've got about 13 on the shelf that we are trying to develop over the coming year, but it takes a while. We need to test all those languages, but they are in preparation. And we are thinking about an extendable model, that, like a toolkit that allows you to build your own language if not one of the 13 is the language that you speak.
Right.
But speech recognition, of course, is very dependent on the language, right?
Yes.
So language is a very important thing for us. 5 will be available at beta. 5 will be available at RTM, and thereafter we will release out of band all the other languages.
Okay.
So as I was telling you, the wizard has already created a prompt library which adds all the prompts for the application. Then we have a grammar library, and we have speech workflow grammar builder, etc. The conversational grammar builder makes grammars building grammars really easy, and David will be actually showing you a lot of that.
All right. What do you need a grammar for? What are the things, because you're using Lingo
yeah.
that I don't hear when I talk to the C-sharp team, like prompts and grammars, what are those?
So grammars are essentially the heart and soul of a speech application. Every response that the user speaks in gets captured by a grammar. Like, the grammar validates if the response that the user has uttered is present in the grammar or not. So it's essentially like a validating mechanism.
Yeah. So when I call here and I say, give me Bill Gates,
yes.
it knows whether Bill Gates exists in the grammar or not?
Yeah. You're perfectly right.
Okay.
So it's a prediction of whatever what a person is going to say.
Got it.
So, and you can write those grammars in an XML format, or what we are going to show in a moment, by just writing the sentences like you would write in orthographics by normal typing.
Okay. And obviously speech recognition quality goes up, or accuracy goes up if the system knows what to expect, right?
Exactly.
It's harder just to talk freeform to a system that, you know, where it
because
it, know.
If it's open end, then it doesn't know what to pick from.
Yeah.
So if it's in a constrained set, then obviously the recognition will be really good.
I think one point to make there is that historically with building all speech apps, one of the hardest things is precisely that, to predict everything that the user might say,
yeah.
or all possible variations of saying a few things.
Yeah.
So as we go through this, I hope you'll see that the authoring environment that we have means that authors don't have to do that. They author up to a point, and then the underlying technology will allow them, the final caller, to speak outside of the bounds of what was exactly authored.
But we are going to show that in a short moment, so that everything is very clear, that you just can write all the sentences that you think that the person will speak, or you can actually import a whole phrase. But we are going to show that in writing the demo. So
okay.
Let's focus now on a very simple demo.
So if you look at this here on the left-hand pane, we have Windows Workflow tab and the Speech Dialog Components tab. In the toolbox, this essentially, the Windows Workflow activities are used to build a normal managed code application using Windows Workflow activities. And right below that is the Speech Dialog Components. We use this in conjunction with the Windows Workflow activities to build a speech application, a managed speech application. So on the canvas here, you see by default, an answer call activity and a disconnect call activity has been added. So what are these two activities? When you think about a speech application, the first point of entry into the application is the answer call activity.
Yeah.
And the exit point is the disconnect call activity. So these two get added automatically. In between is what I'll add logic to the application. So once the application call gets answered, what is the next point? We need to give a greeting like, hello, welcome to Microsoft Speech Server, or something like that. So let's add a statement activity. The statement and question and answer activity, these two activities combined, are the basic building blocks for a speech application.
Okay.
So if you look at it now, I have a warning that says main prompt is not set. So I've added a prompt. And when I click on it, it brings up the property builder, and it allows me, so let's say I put in something like, this is a Microsoft Speech Server Workflow Authoring Services Demo. So I have that now. Now that the greeting is done, the application needs to converse and maintain a dialog flow. So the next point here would be to ask a question to the user. Let's say we are building a simple application like, do you like Microsoft Speech Server? So it's a question. And so what I do is I drag and drop a question and answer activity here. And again, you see it says main prompt is not set. And oh, notice this, a grammar is also not attached. So what we do here is we'll first enter the question like, do you like Microsoft Speech Server? It's a question.
Yep.
Apply in the dialogue. And a grammar, as I was telling you, is a simple is a file which has all the utterances that the user could possibly say. It's a prediction. So let's browse through the file, and we have a grammar library. I just got a dialogue saying the grammar is on the desktop. Do you want to copy it? And here, if you look at it, you say you entered a file name, but no rule is associated.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on Browse Rule for this particular grammar, you can see that there are, so since it's a library, it contains a lot of rules. There are hundreds of grammars here. So this grammar library that comes along with the product contains a lot of grammars that are used by developers in their building applications for daily use.
Okay.
Like numbers, alphabets, zip codes, so on and so forth. So let's select a confirmation. Yes.
So here you expect an answer of yes or no, or maybe,
yes.
Or yes, no, or
yes, no, cancel, maybe, repeats,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
And so that's already a pre-built grammar that you already have that,
yes.
You're just going to import on that field?
Yes.
Interesting.
So let's select the grammar.
How many custom grammars do you find that most developers or companies who are using Speech Server need to go beyond what comes with the product?
A lot like that. That's completely dependent on the application. Like there might be an application for a hospital. So that completely depends on what the user is saying and so on and so forth.
Right.
But simple grammars like date. Any application that uses a date will need a date grammar. A credit card, for example, will require a credit card grammar. So we have provided a lot of these generic grammars, and we allow users to use these grammars.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find confirmation here.
How hard is it to build a custom grammar? Let's say I was a hospital and needed a custom grammar. How hard is it to build that?
Well, using our tools, it's a lot easier. So we are going to show you that in a moment by using the conversational grammar builder.
Okay.
And we are going to actually also show you how it was done in the past. So as soon as Mithun has found his yes-no.
I found it.
He can show the yes-no now. So.
So here you see that I've selected the yes, no, cancel grammar.
Yep.
So we'll select this as an active rule. And let me select that again.
Okay.
Select active rule. And we'll OK this application. Now you see that the grammar has gotten both rules. If we go back to the library and see the grammar, let me add it to the Solution Explorer as well. And while this comes up, now if you look at this, a simple thing such as no will have all these complicated notes. Here for no, the user has an option of saying no, nay, nah, nope, negative, and so on and so forth. So we are trying to predict what the user might say. So this is essentially how a grammar looks like, and this has been simplified a lot using the conversational grammar builder, and application authoring has grammar authoring has become really simple right now.
Yeah.
So let me go back to the application. So far in the application, we have played a greeting, and we have asked the user if he likes Microsoft Speech Server, and the user has an option to say yes or no.
Yeah.
So now this is where branching comes into picture. So what we have to do is we'll go to the Windows workflow workflow activities and drag and drop if-else activity. If the user says yes, perform this action. If he says no, perform another action.
Ah.
And again, if you notice here, it says main property condition is not set. So let's go ahead and set this condition. We'll make this as a code condition.
What happens if somebody answers an answer that's not in the grammar? My wife speaks Iranian, she might say Nakun, right? Which
yeah.
means no in Iranian.
Exactly.
So
if your application is not designed to handle that, then it repeats. That depends on how you're designing the application. If there is no recognition, then if you go here if you check on the prompt, it says there is something called as no recognition.
Okay.
So I go and set in a property that says, I'm sorry, I couldn't recognize you. Can you please repeat your sentence? And on another reattempt, we can have a command control that gives in a help and says prompts the user like, you can say yes or no.
Yes.
So, you know, the application can be smart enough using the logic on how you build it.
Okay.
So here we are setting a code condition as I was talking.
And that's one of the beauties of Windows Workflow, right? It's full round tripping. So what we are creating here is now a graphical representation of the call flow. But once you are saying, I decide to do a code condition, I can now go to my code that I've generated in C Sharp. And Mithun is going to show that in a second, that you just can then define your if then else by just describing your condition. So we go to the code view.
Yeah, so let me write a code. So now, as you saw, it brings into the code, and this is where you have the power of writing code and writing everything in a custom way that you want. So we'll say if question answer activity, and as you're seeing, there is IntelliSense recognition result dot text equals yes, then e.result equals true. And we close. So right now, this simple piece of code, all I wrote was three lines of code, and I'm trying to capture what the user says. If we go back to the workflow here, now you see that the code has been set and the condition set, but you notice here that it says drop activities here within the branching. Mm-hmm. So what should the speech application do once it takes this particular branch? If the user says yes, it'll take the left branch. If it says no, it'll take the right branch. So when it says when the user says yes, let's add a statement activity that says that's an excellent choice. And similarly for no, we have something like, well, we're sorry you did not like Microsoft's pizza. And
does capitalization matter at all?
It doesn't matter. Capitalization doesn't matter, but however, punctuation does matter. Like if you put an exclamation mark, then it's smart enough to you normalize the prompt.
Get some emotion
prompt lane.
Yes. Okay.
So finally, we have to indicate that the application has ended. So we'll just drag and drop another statement here that says, "Thank you for using." Thank you for calling Microsoft's server. So now, if you look at the application, you can see that you have a visual representation. As Albert was mentioning, it's a complete visual representation, like in a Visio. A call gets answered here, a greeting is played, a question is asked, and the answer is captured here. And depending on the recognition, the application takes either one of the branches, and then a statement, thanks for calling, is played, and finally the call gets disconnected. And now you can debug this application and deploy it on one of your servers. I've already deployed on one of the servers. Let's actually call this application and see.
To deploy, what's involved? You compile
you
it,
just
and what do you...
Press F5.
Press F5.
Press F5 and
yep.
It's deployed?
Yes.
Now, to move it over to... Because you're probably going to debug on a laptop or on a desktop machine.
That's the beauty
of... So move
of
it over to your server, it's just copy the file.
Copy the file. Because it's all self-integrated. You need a telephone line hooked up to the servers. We have in our labs a telephone line hooked up, so...
Okay.
Or you can also use your SIP phone to call it. Let's actually call this application right now.
Okay. This is the Microsoft Speech Server Workflow Authoring Services Demo. You like Microsoft Speech Server?
Yes.
That's an excellent choice. Thanks for calling Microsoft Speech Server.
So that was a very simple, rudimentary application built using the tools and using Windows Workflow Foundation services. Now, actually, Dave Olson will extend this application and show you how to build complex applications with multiple branching. Here you saw there were just two branches, yes or no. But you know, if you have multiple branches, multiple options that the user can say, then the application gets complex. So David will show you.
Could I go through and replace the computerized voice with my own voice?
So of course you can. Like that's an excellent question. And right now, you'd notice that the voice was sounding a little like a computerized voice. With you have what is called as, if you go here, a prompts DB. So here, I can click on the validation tool, and you can validate the solution, and it validates your solution and brings up all the prompts that do not have a recording, and you can record these, and or you can use professional voice talent to record, and you can add those. Like if you see, it says that's an excellent choice, we're sorry. Like it says has wave, has alignments, and so on and so forth. None of these have a recording since I built it on the fly.
What's an alignment?
It aligns the words to the wave pattern.
Okay.
And it gives you all that complete authority to use those and manage and edit accordingly.
Got it.
So we have a complete solution called the Prompt Studio.
Interesting stuff. You can certainly see how easy it is to build something that sounds like a big company, you know?
It is.
Cool.
I think Dave will show you a lot more cooler stuff now.
Yeah, let me move a little bit closer to you. Okay.
So when Mithun showed you the picture of the grammar before, a couple of things that were complicated about that maybe didn't come across is that you have to, as an author, decide which part of the grammar is relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like a large pizza, please. The only relevant bit's the large. So you have to semantically tag that, right? You have to write some JScript that says, I'm interested in this and not the other stuff.
Right.
Similarly, that kind of style of grammar is where you're trying to elicit a value for something. And most often that's the case. But what about, welcome to Quest, how may I help you, right? There's no actual value there. You're just going to say, you know, there's something wrong with my bill or whatever, right? So that kind of style of authoring is called how may I help you style, where there's no specific value. So this, the conversational grammar builder that we have here, which is an additive new tool based on, will allow you to author both styles of grammar in the same, using the same UI paradigm.
Okay.
The UI paradigm is essentially list views and tree views.
Okay.
That stuff I was mentioning about the value that's important, that's done for you by dint of the fact that something exists in a list in the tree view.
Okay.
Your example sentences of what the person can say are literally text example sentences into the list view.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is build a little app that would be the application that somebody might call if they're calling Stevens Pass Ski Area.
Okay.
They might be calling and saying, what's the snow conditions like today? Or what about rentals and lessons? Can I rent ski equipment? What time are you open? Ticket prices, driving directions.
Yeah.
I'm going to extend this to allow them to say things like, you know, driving directions from Seattle, please, or driving directions from Everett. So pre-prepared, up on the top here, I have these keywords, you know, the ones that have the real value of the five cities that Stevens would provide access to. So let me go ahead and extend this by adding a response node where I'm going to say where from, and adding to that a reference to those set of cities. What I'm really saying here is if the person did say driving directions, I need driving directions, please, the next logical question to ask them be where from. I'm just going to put one training sentence in here. You'd need more, but I'm just going to do this for brevity. So basically, we would be able to get them saying driving directions and then be able to ask, where are you coming from? But what about if they said where they were coming from straight off the bat? So let's add another response there. Hold on a second.
It's not beta if it doesn't
hang
a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm going to add another response here, which is like driving directions from. And again, add a reference to that city. Now, this is a neat feature. Is because I need to give this quite a few examples, I've collected these offline from people, and I'm going to import that from file.
Oh, you just imported that.
Yeah. So I need to get driving directions from Seattle, please. But now, the important thing that I need to do is separate out the keyword values from the fluff. So we have this parse responses button. When I click that, it compares all the sentences against the keywords and successfully parses all but three. Somebody gave me a sentence which is, what's the right route to take from San Francisco? Well, San Francisco is not a city I support, but I still want to use that training sentence, so I just mark that as a keyword. However, what about this one? I'm coming from the south. We could consider the south to be a synonym for Seattle, because I'd get the same set of driving directions. And similarly, Redmond, that could be a synonym for, Redmond could be a synonym
for
Bellevue.
For Bellevue.
Yeah. So now I'm complete. We have another feature here. It's common to make mistakes that are not difficult, are not easy to find in grammars. What about if I click this validate language? It's going to go through performing some tests against the content of these grammars and reporting some errors or warnings to the author. And these are pretty useful ones. What this is saying is that we've used some heuristic rules to generate the pronunciation for the word Renatal, well, clearly I've just misspelled rental. And it's telling me that it couldn't find that in the speech dictionary. That's why I needed to take a closer look. What about this one? It's saying, do I have to pay for kids less than 5 years old? Well, our engine will normalize less than five and probably come up with something a bit weird like left angle bracket five. So we don't want that. So we're trying to educate the user to put in what it is that they want to be recognized under five, let's say. Mm-hmm. So now we are clean and we can build the language. And I'd like to move to the designer, and you've seen this view as Mithun had shown it before.
Yep.
So I think I can just jump in straight away and ask the question. And my question is, welcome to Stevens. Ask, what information would you like today? And I'm going to attach the grammar. Now, Mithun made a rule reference using this UI right out to a separate file that he had. But I've been building these grammars right in my project. And here they are in this view. So I'm going to choose the what info rule there. And then we have a neat little feature where I can, the option I chose there was generate branching, which should generate for me a set of branches, which I just move. Generated me a set of branches. And what it did was it looked into the grammar that I built and realized that what was relevant was snow conditions, rentals and lessons, hours of operation, and it generated me a separate branch with the code. Mithun had to write the conditional code. This feature allows me not to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now in a position to add my content for each of the branches. I'm going to add a statement for my driving directions from, and let me just quickly add statements for the other branches too.
And as I was telling you, like for me, I had just two branches. Like I had just the yes and no branch.
Yeah.
In case of Dave's demo, he has a lot more branches: driving directions, ticket prices, so on and so forth. So his code with the new feature with generate branches, it's much more easier and much smarter.
What I'm doing here is just putting in prompts for each of those legs that we're not particularly interested in from the point of view of this demo, but each of them would be fully fleshed out in a real app. Now, what I have left to do is I was putting in what's called a static prompt for each of these for ticket prices, but driving directions from, that's when I've actually spoken a particular city. I can't put the city value in here. I have to enter this as a dynamic prompt. So again, I get put into the code and I can do something like, I'm adding to the main prompt of this control the phrase driving directions from, and I'm going to add to that the value that was recognized. So that's basically, it's going to hopefully say driving directions from Wenatchee. I have one leg to go, and this is the one where the person just said, I need directions, and I need to first of all ask them, okay, where from? Okay, where from? And I have the grammar where from, which I'll set there. And then finally, I need to say something very similar to the other leg, driving directions from. And in fact, it's so similar that I will copy the code from there and just change the statement 56. And so I now have the code for the app. Let me just minimize this so you can see the whole thing again. We have all of the legs, and let's stick a breakpoint directly onto the canvas here using, this is a Windows workflow feature where I can insert a breakpoint onto the canvas itself, and I will try debugging. So what we what we've done is we have, because debugging, we want to make debugging speech applications as much like debugging any regular application as possible. However, there are some peculiarities to a speech app that are, you know, different to anything else, namely that you really have to provide some speech input to the application.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have a we have fully integrated with Visual Studio debugging and with the support that Windows Workflow have and our own speech UI as well for providing either speech or touch tone input to the application.
Right. Plus we have built in inside Visual Studio a complete soft phone. So you have to understand that Microsoft has this better together paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at Speech Server, what you have is not only all the speech capabilities, but you also have all the telephony. That telephony is built on real-time communication software,
right,
on the SIP software that also drives LCS, the Live Communication Server, that drives Messenger, drives Office Communicator. And that SIP telephony software, that is essentially what we have built inside Visual Studio now. So we are calling in a moment from a soft phone that we have inside Visual Studio, and that soft phone that allows you to actually speak as if you are picking up a phone to the real application that you have just built. So it's bringing together the speech world and the telephony world by using the speech server technology. And that is what you see on the left-hand side on the screen. So when you are building an application, you now have full debugging that you have inside Visual Studio where you actually can call by using that soft phone. And you can not only call from inside Visual Studio, but you can also use Communicator. You can use Messenger, you can use the hard phone that you have on your desk by then using a voice over IP gateway.
Got it.
Okay, so if I make a call to this app, I get broken at the breakpoint that I set on the canvas. If I F10 into there.
Welcome, Stevens Pass. What information would you like today?
That was the text-to-speech prompt that I've been, welcome to Stevens Pass, what information would you like today? I have a choice of input method. I could just type what I want. As though it were speech, but it's really text. I could speak directly to a microphone, or I can upload a waveform. This is the one that I'm going to choose for this.
I live in Seattle. How do I get to Stevens from there?
I live in Seattle. How do I get to Stevens from there? And now we've moved on in the debugger. If I carry on, I've moved down the correct path, which is driving directions from. And if I hit that again.
Driving directions from Seattle.
Driving directions from Seattle. So I want to stop debugging at that point. I want to show you one other thing quickly. In voice user interface design, it's very common to have global commands. You should be able to say help at any time if you're lost. These are grounding you in the familiar metaphors like the back button on a,
right,
on a visual browser. And you might want to be doing something like saying main menu all the time. So we've built this in as well. I have this view commands, which I'm selecting, which brings me to a command activity designer, where I will drag a command on here. I am going to quickly name this command main menu command, and I'm going to set its grammar to one that I previously prepared over here. And then I'm invited to add some stuff here, any activities that I like. Normally for a main menu, I would want to do something like, returning to the main menu, and then I would probably actually want to return to the main menu. So we have augmented Windows Workflow by adding a go-to activity. This is not available in the vanilla Windows Workflow model, and it allows me to go to any one of the other activities that I had. So I'm going back to there, and I'm done with that, and I will just quickly debug once more to show you this. One of the other things that is done, authored in exactly the same way, is it's very common to have a bailout strategy, meaning that a common one is three strikes and you're out. If you're misrecognized three times in a row, if you don't respond three times in a row, usually you're transferred out to an operator or the application hangs up on you. That's authored in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Welcome to Stevens Pass. What information would you like today?
Well, this time I'm just going to quickly choose driving directions itself without specifying a city. It's going to ask me...
Okay, where from?
And I'm going to feel lost and I want to go back to the main menu.
Returning to the main menu.
And if I continue down that, I end up back where I started.
Welcome to Stevens Pass. What information would you like today?
Okay. Ron, it's good stuff.
And what you see here now is something that you have never had before, namely that you can use the ordinary debugging that you're used to, also using a speech app, that you can mix and match all the different paradigms that we have. So you have the ordinary workflow, so all the stuff that is delivered in Windows Workflow Foundation. You have all the speech activities, but imagine now that you also have written SQL Server, or you have other activities. For example, Mithun mentioned the credit card validation, right?
Yeah.
A credit card validation, okay, you enter your credit card number, your date that it's expiring, but then to go back to all the different credit card companies itself can be rolled up as an activity inside workflow services and can be just called as an activity inside your speech app. And to be able, the ability then to debug this seamlessly, not to have to switch between all the different systems, is not available anywhere else. And to be able to debug and find exactly where it's going wrong in real time, that is nowhere else available. Even not in Speed Server 2004, how great it was. There we used the web paradigm. And once you have a web paradigm where you have web pages that interface to other systems, external systems, using web services or whatever web connectivity you're using, you never knew where it went wrong. Did it go wrong on the website, on the server side, or on the client side? Which code do you need to debug? In the web paradigm, you use a lot of JScript.
Yeah.
Debugging JScript is horrible.
Yeah.
So all those things, and we have listened here to the Microsoft developer base, right, are all overcome by using managed code, by using Visual Studio, by using workflow services, everything that we have. And that makes this product actually so great.
It's pretty cool. When am I going to be able to actually use this as a and when
the timelines are as follows. So in the beginning of May, so that's let's say the second week of May.
Yeah.
We are going
by the time this video, it'll be the end of May. So.
Okay. So in May we are going to release the beta. You can like me to said on Microsoft.com/speech, you can apply and nominate yourself for the beta.
Yeah.
You can then get the beta. We hope to release this product then by the end of Q3, start of Q4, depending on how much feedback we get, of course, to improve even on this beta.
Okay.
For developers, we have a special program as if you're an ISV, which is called the Jumpstart program. Just go to the beta website. We will filter you out. If you are an ISV, we will invite you for the Jumpstart program, and that offers things like training, help desk, all that type of support that you need in order to build applications.
Okay.
So that's more or less the time frame. Software is any moment out, and start using it.